This is Together, an Ada Bible Church podcast about the world of marriage, where we attempt to invite you to explore the ways marriage works and doesn't work. From practical ways of learning to biblical inspiration, we invite you to listen to other professionals and couples to help enrich your marriage.
Hey, listeners, we are so glad you are back. We have a very special conversation today. And with Austin and Katie Moore, you might remember they were recorded way back in September of 2022, and they shared about how they met, fell in love, all that good stuff. And also a big part of that story was their infertility journey. So Austin and Katie, before we jump in, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us back.
Yeah, we're excited.
I think this might be the first welcome back to a couple. If I'm not mistaken.
It is.
So we're excited that you're stepping into that first. But Kelly and I got to sit down with you the first time. So we're going to get to just pick up where we left off. Mm-hmm. And what did we talk about last time? So I think we talked about your love story, like how you found your way to one another. I remember just learning the beautiful ways you compliment one another. And then how God met you in some significant ways on your journey with infertility. Thank you again for inviting us into that part of your story. It was compelling, the way God met you, the way you encouraged one another. And then at the very end, we talked about how you were just stepping into the journey toward adoption. So now you are adoptive parents. So you've done a lot of living since then. So we're going to catch up a bit and kind of step into that part of your story. Kelly's going to invite you to just kind of pick up there of the kind of in the in-between all that, what that happened. But, you know, Katie, I stumbled upon a social media post that you did after we recorded. Can you believe that was almost 2 years ago?
I know, that is wild.
Yeah, that seems crazy to me.
And you shared that you had just received your 48th negative pregnancy test. And I thought, I mean, I really stepped away like, these Moores are just strong in the Lord, you know, and could learn so much about your journey with Jesus. And I thought, and it's still really, really hard, you know, and I just really appreciated the way you expressed that, right? Jesus in the hard places. Thank you for the way the, you know, you let God use you for that first episode to help people look in his direction. And that's our hope for this episode too.
And so for, I think something that'll be really helpful for our listeners is to know, like, what was that journey like? Because it's pre-adoption, adoption, and then today, having two beautiful little boys. So kind of like, Katie, maybe you start, because, like, what was the first step of going towards adoption?
Yeah, so we talked about adoption when we were dating even, and I can remember that conversation for me was make or break, and come to find out for him, he was like, yeah, same. Like, we both wanted to adopt long before we were ever married. We just, God had put that on both of our hearts, which was really beautiful when we came together and we're like, oh, same, same. Cool, dude. Like, this will work out.
I would think that that's rather unusual that that was a make or break thing for both of you in the person that you would date. Like, hey, if they're not like open to adoption, they might not be a candidate.
Well,
and just to interject, I think, you know, adoption was something I was passionate about because my dad is actually adopted. And so that that's just a beautiful part of our family story. And so just seeing that through my dad, through my grandparents, and that was just a really special part of my it is a special part of my life. And so it's just been something that I've been passionate about. And especially so when we met and started talking about it.
So. So we, I don't know, we just always make sure that it's clear, like this was never a plan B, and that's okay that it is for some people. I know some people, you know, get into a place of fertility or infertility struggles and decide like, hey, actually this could be a really cool route for our family. But for us, it was always a part of the plan. Our timeline was just changed by the Lord, and that's okay. Like, he knows better than we do. So, so we initially, I think just we're kind of like, you know, one of us started the conversation, like, where are we at with adoption? Like, you know, it's been, I think, 4 years is where we were at that point. And just kind of like, this, we want to do this. Why would we wait any longer? So really, I mean, it really wasn't like a long, like, conversation. I think we're just like, yep, we're ready. So we, again, the Lord, just the way he orchestrated it all, we had some friends who were, had just started their adoption process. So I just like texted her and we got coffee and I asked basically like, okay, what agency are you using? I just found the agencies we didn't want to use and that was just our preference. And so I was like, who are you using? I didn't know you could use an agency out of state. So that was new information. We, she told me all about home study stuff. And so we literally just copy and pasted basically like their agency.
That's home a nice study. Friend.
I trust her. Yeah. And I was like, the way that she explained it, I think we looked at like maybe two other ones. But truly we were like, this agency is incredible. We love how they take care of birth moms and how they educate and the pre, post and during, you know, care that they have for birth moms is just amazing. So anyways, lined up with our values, I could go into why they're so great, but, so we started that in August of 2022.
Yeah.
So like right around that time that we were recording this podcast, which is absolutely so cool. I don't know. It's cool. So,
well, let me ask Allison a question.
Yeah.
How, like you learned about the process, how long did you think it might take you to cover the ground you needed to take to be, ready? You know, to have checked all the boxes and taken all the steps.
Yeah. I think we entered into the conversation prepared for it to take a long time. I mean, potentially years, just as we navigated the financial end of things and then the legal side of things. And so there's definitely, we look back at it now, of course, and it's easy to realize, man, we had no idea what we were getting into. I think it was so abundantly clear that the Lord put that on our hearts to pursue it, which was just really beautiful. But as far as things that needed to happen, we had no idea. And we just knew it could be years before we, Lord willing, had a child on the other end of it.
So now one of the beautiful things for me to see from a distance, because Katie and I are friends on Instagram, and community is a major part of your adoption story. And I remember all of those posts that you would make and reach and telling your story and really connecting. Talk, Katie, a little bit more about that, how community was really important to this for you and Austin.
Yeah, man, I get excited about like thinking about it. We were talking just about this podcast and like remembering and the way that God showed up like through his image bearers, because I mean, it was our church, it was our family, it was our friends, it was, you know, we would have fundraisers and just people coming out of the woodwork. Like I can remember we had a yard sale fundraiser and the amount of people that would circle back, I mean, it was probably like six or seven, which to me was a lot, like would come back. They would, you know, buy something, maybe not buy something, come back and donate some more money and be like, one girl came back and brought us coffees. Like she's like, you know, and they all had a story of someone in their life who was adopted. And it just, I mean, it was so beautiful. Like, and it changed, I mean, it changed me forever. Like, I think the way that I view generosity and stepping into people's stories, even if I don't know them, like, is just changed forever, because so many strangers, like, loved us so well in this process. It just, it blew my mind. And, like, and I think that there's no way, I mean, that we would be where we are today without other people. And we were talking, too, about how, like, you know, when you step into the space of adoption, a lot of times the number alone scares people because it is really, really intimidating how expensive adoption is. And you can kind of sit there thinking, you know, in our individualistic culture, like, how are we going to do this? The reality is you're not. Like, you need people. You need people emotionally. You need people financially. You need people just, I mean, in all facets. And I think, man, we are just really, we felt so blessed, like, and feel so blessed just by how people showed up for us in that. So,
And I knew going into it that our family would be such a huge support system.
Yeah, they were on board from the get-go.
And they were on board from the get-go, which was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I think we knew we had their support, and they showed that in so many ways. But I think the shocking thing for me was seeing generosity on display in a way I'd never seen before from mm-hmm. people I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you're spot on, Katie, with so many of those stories. It was just like, sometimes it was just a conversation and sharing or exchanging stories with people. Sometimes it was just that little act of service or gratitude or generosity, just mm-hmm. bringing coffee or it was just, yeah, the body of Christ at work in a really beautiful way. And so,
and you both said in a way that was like forever, it changed you, it impacted you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then God started really moving and helping you take the steps.
Yeah.
When were you kind of at a place from like start to readiness? Like how long did that take?
So we, the interesting thing is a lot of logistical things on the front end of adoption are kind of contingent on the financial piece.
Yeah.
And so it felt like we really had to navigate that and come up with the funds that we needed. But I remember, I think it was before Christmas, if I'm remembering right, that we we had the funding that we needed. And it just feels like I look back at it now and I don't know how it happened.
Truly.
It's the only way I can describe it is, you know, it seems like we had the sale and there was a really significant push to get closer to our goal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Katie did an incredible job of just getting our story out through social media.
Huge.
And I think really showed me just like people love to be brought in, like to, you know, and we view that way. I'm like, I can remember, you know, in the whole process talking to people at different campuses, you know, of our church and feeling like they'd ask how it's going. And I'm like, I feel like we're all in this together and how like special and cool and beautiful, like this got us to our boys. Like, I just remember, every interaction like that got us to them. And it just is not lost on me, mm-hmm. like how special that is. And sorry, I didn't mean to drop you, Austin.
No, that's okay. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. I think one thing I really struggled with in that season was, I'm generally someone who has trouble asking for help.
Yeah.
And that was no different as we were navigating that initial season.
Sure.
And so for me to really jump in and for us to jump in and see generosity on grand display, it was just unreal. And it made me realize that people want to help. I mean, that's the church. And that was such a beautiful thing to see just through our church community and
whether and beyond, that was I would
and
say
beyond,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was Christmas. We had the full funding, which we could really start to, we finished our adoption profile at that point. So we could get the information that we needed to prospective birth families. And yeah, I think it was spring when maybe March or April when we had some of that stuff wrapped up, including the home study piece.
Mm-hmm. I think our profile, we would say, went active and we were starting to be presented to birth moms in end of April, beginning of May.
Yeah. And then fast forward to June. I remember this very vividly. I was at the Kentwood campus helping to get some things ready for the weekend and I could feel my phone vibrating and I was getting phone calls and it was Katie trying to call me repeatedly. and
I wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the moment, of course, I think I was in a meeting. And so I thought, you know, I'll get through this and then I'll call right back. Mm-hmm. And finally I took a peek at my phone because it kept going off.
Katie called me 20 times.
Exactly.
Oh, 50 text messages and 20 missed calls. Weird. Yeah.
And you had texted me, I think your first text said, "Hey, give me a call, nothing bad. But we need to talk and I have an update for you." And I did the same thing. I said, I'm almost done with the meeting. I'll call back. But then eventually you texted again and said, "Hey, we need to chat. We have a potential match, twin boys. We're going to meet with the birth mom over Zoom tonight."
Oh my.
Like, I need you home.
In literally a matter of a few hours, we were going to be talking to her. Okay. And so that was the beginning of June.
Yeah, you guys, I can remember I was just sitting in our sauna of all places, and I got this phone call, and I was like, oh, California, weird. So I answered it happened to be our birth mom coordinator. And she just gave me this rundown. She's like, hey, and she wants to talk to you tonight. She's due in August with twin boys. And just cool, like, God moment. Like, I don't know why, other than the Holy Spirit maybe, but back in the fall and winter, I had told Austin, I go, something's going to happen in August. I just feel like something's going to happen in August. And I didn't know what. I don't know. I really didn't think like a match. And then another thing is we'd kind of always just prayed for twin boys. Like we just, we wanted that. I don't know. Like Austin's a twin and we just think it's really special, like little boys. And anyway, so that's kind of something, two things we just kind of held close, you know, to our hearts. And then, I mean, they were born July 31st. So I was a little off, but, yeah. but yeah, I mean, when she on the phone was like, they're due in August, twin boys, I just sat in silence when I got off the phone for probably a good 30 minutes. And then I was like, oh shoot, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Austin needs to get home because we're talking to her at like 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was wild.
So that was wild. And so that was beginning of June. And then the boys were born in July, July 31st. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, really in that month and a half ish, it was just trying to mentally, emotionally prepare for the thought of becoming parents to twin boys and just navigating that. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was a whirlwind of emotions, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
But just really beautiful at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And so you knew kind of at the end of that Zoom call that, or did you, it was a while after that Zoom call that this is a match and they would love for you to be the adoptive parents of these little ones?
It was a while.
Okay,
so,
a little waiting.
Yeah, yeah. We were familiar with it, but it was a different kind of waiting for sure.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting month and a half. But we basically knew that she was talking to like two or three other families. And I don't think we heard from her for like 2 weeks or like from our agency.
Yeah, it was a few weeks.
Yeah. And they kind of thought like maybe she's going to parent. Like we just didn't hear anything. So then came back. She wanted to meet with us again. So had another phone call, Zoom call, and we weren't officially matched until after they were born. So they were born. She was very gracious to text us a picture that night. They were born on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I think it was a Monday night.
And we got a picture at like midnight and we were like, oh my gosh, they're here. And, you know, she's like, we'll text you tomorrow. So we're like, okay, we might be parents tomorrow. Like, this is insane. And yeah, so then we got officially like, hey, we would like you guys to parent the next morning. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. So this is the day I've been waiting to step into, you know, because you find yourself driving to the hospital.
Yeah.
Right. And you meet these little ones and you actually take them home with you.
Yeah.
That day.
It was crazy.
It was surreal would be one word to describe it. That's the first word that comes to mind. And even I just remember that morning gearing up and we're putting two car seats in the back of our car. Yeah. And
I wish the listeners were here and could see the tears, you know, like right at the surface. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, as you would imagine, just a strange cocktail of emotions, just trying to navigate obviously the joy. And we were very expectant and just getting to meet them and be with them. But then also realizing the uniqueness of the situation and just the delicacy of it.
Yeah.
And so I just remember driving over and talking, like having conversations and praying. And as Katie mentioned, we weren't even 100% sure at that point that, even if we took them home, that we would get to be their parents.
Yeah.
For the long term.
Yeah. So with adoption, I mean, there's a lot of like legal, you know, deadlines you kind of have to get through and walk through, I should say, with the birth family. And so there's like just always like a little bit in the back of your head of like, okay, we'll just, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like we were like, oh, let's play it safe and like, we'll see. It was definitely just like, okay, it's back there. But like, you know, and this, we recognize too that, you know, and Rachel, I share this with you, like, this isn't just our story. Like, this is mm-hmm. our boy's story. This is their birth family story. And so we, we want to honor that and protect, you know, a lot of the details in that, mm-hmm. just
yeah.
Because it's not ours to share alone. But, you know, just as a general rule, if anyone listening is interested in adoption, I mean, it's the best, like, yes, we're advocates of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of just nuances in it. I mean, every case is different. Every family is different. Every, you know, I'm seeing other friends walk through it now and it looks completely different, you okay. know? So, but yeah, I think for us, you know, we got to the hospital and for our scenario, there was still just a lot of unknowns, but I think I'm so thankful. I mean, that I had Austin through that because there were just moments that were like, what is happening? Like, you know, are we doing this right? Like just trying to be available, flexible, you know? But I will share, there was a space that we got to enter into with their birth mom that was so, I mean, I feel like it was like so sacred. It felt like holy ground. Like we walked okay. in and we got to meet her and she just came up and hugged me. Like we'd not met her in person yet. And the boys were in the room and, oh man, it was just so beautiful. I don't know. And then we got to spend like 3 hours with her just okay. talking and getting mm-hmm. to know her and their family like mm-hmm. story. And, that was really, really special. Like, it was so special. And, man, she's just like, birth moms are so strong. Like the selflessness and love and strength that they carry, like to go through something like trusting your children to someone else to parent is one of the greatest displays of love that I've ever seen. And I mean, also with just so much grief, you know? So
yeah,
it's a beautiful, hard, complex thing, adoption. Like
the beautiful hard.
Yeah, we've heard it described, and I think it's more than accurate as, you know, that day when you pick them up from the hospital as a wedding, a funeral, and a birthday. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody listening or we would all agree that it'd be weird if you did celebrate all three of those things in the same room. But that's what it is. And so it's this like concoction of holding joy and sorrow and grief and loss mm-hmm. and union mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm.
Well, let's jump in there a little bit more. I heard you say this earlier, Austin, as well, that it's like a birthday and it's like a wedding and it's like a funeral. How so?
Yeah. I mean, it felt very accurate to us in the sense that obviously it was celebrating the boys and being with them and celebrating just like
new life
and holding them. And then, you know, transition to the wedding piece, right? It's, sure. it's the beginning of a new family in that sense. And then, mm-hmm. And then with a funeral, I mean, there's grieving involved too with the adoption process. And so I think part of the, certainly the beauty, but the challenge of it, it was just how do you hold all those emotions in tandem?
Sure.
Cause I think, you know, we would both agree that there was an overwhelming sense of joy mm-hmm. going into that day. And we felt that throughout, but also just, you know, being in that room and understanding, what mom was going through and
like the
weight of that was something that we really wanted to be intentional with and just give weight to that.
Yeah. And I would say in the midst of it all, there was peace, you know, and like, mm-hmm. For all parties, which was really special and just some of the things that, you know, yeah, that I think were shared that just reiterated how much peace their birth mom felt too was really encouraging. So,
wow. Yeah. You guys are really blowing me away in telling this story and just, you know, all these, the thing I love about this episode is I know you guys are speaking to people mm-hmm. who are in that infertility journey, thinking of adoption. And there's just so much stuff that you're sharing that maybe some people just aren't cognizant of this, you know, what we're talking about now. After you adopted the little guys, talk about that process and the bumps in the road and the smooth parts of the road. What was that like?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind is, and maybe this is a new thing for a lot of people, because it was new for us, is just recognizing that babies, even newborn babies, grieve. Mm-hmm. It can experience grieving. And so for us, those first few days, I can remember this, I always will, but I'm even recalling the first night, just being at home with the boys and thinking, I love you already. And there's a profound sense of love that I have for these boys that I can't explain. But I also look at these boys and I don't know them yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know me. And so as new parents, as new adoptive parents, how do we love them and bond with them and really allow them to assimilate and become a part of our family? Mm-hmm. And so we could see in just really tangible ways how they were grieving. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that was just in the form of crying and expressing in a way that we couldn't help it. We couldn't explain it. You know, it wasn't necessarily a hunger cry or I need a new diaper cry. It was just...
different. Like there are times where we could comfort them and it was... And then there are just times where it just felt like you couldn't. And it's hard to explain.
Almost.
Yeah, because I know that, you know, babies are that way. Mm-hmm. Like at times, right. Newborns, it's like sometimes they're just going to cry. Mm-hmm. But like it just felt different. And there were certain things that, you know, we walked through that we could see kind of stirred up that in them more than others. And
And so we definitely, I mean, that was a huge part of it. But I think too, as they started to grow as time went on a little bit, as we got through this first couple months, you know, it was huge for us to get to a point where we could see that they recognized our voices.
That was sweet.
And I think for us, in navigating the grief, that was almost a sign for us that bonding is happening.
Mm-hmm.
We are connecting with them. Mm-hmm. We are growing with them. And so that was huge.
Oh, yeah.
It just was seeing that
About
step.
How long, Austin, after you had them, did you begin to sense that bonding?
Oh, gosh. I feel like it probably took a couple months, honestly.
Yeah.
Which was tough because, as any parent would know, those initial weeks with newborns is just insane.
And we have two of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have two boys.
Right.
Yeah.
And so part of it too was obviously navigating the sleepless nights and the exhaustion and all of that. But
well, let's talk a little bit about how God met you in the exhaustion, and even I'm thinking of pre-adoption, post-adoption, just in those places that were hard, like in the bumps. I know you guys shared about delays you experienced along the way, disappointments, you know, there'd be a hiccup in a home study and some scary stuff after they were placed, and it's been super emotional. So how would you say God has met you in those places?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, we already talked about like through his people. I think that's continued post placement. But like our family was like such a rock for us when we were walking through just the unknowns post placement that were just kind of hard and scary and surprising, you know, just things we didn't expect. And, but I think also now like having like I specifically have a friend that's like in the same exact season who's also just chasing after the heart of God in motherhood, right? And having that, you know, our boys are 11 days apart kind of thing, and it's just cool to see, like, I don't know, just to hear like, okay, how's God meeting you in your sleepless nights, you know, like how's God meeting you in in your, you know, teething or in your, you know, I don't know, their first ear infection or whatever it is, like just knowing that they're there and they're also like seeking God's face in every aspect of motherhood and asking God, like, how do you want me to parent? How is my relationship with you going to look, you know? So yeah, man, people. but also I think God has just met me a lot in reminding me of his faithfulness. And, you know, I share this with you, Rachel, that something that God taught me back when I was single in my mid-20s, like asking, okay, am I ever going to get married, was this idea of holding joy and sorrow simultaneously. And, you know, he's brought that lesson through to our infertility, and he's brought that lesson through to motherhood now. Okay. And I think that, you know, as he told the Israelites, like, to remember constantly, it's like he's been telling me, like, remember. And it's not because he doesn't have anything new to share, but I think it's just to show, like, I've been faithful and I will be faithful. And this is a season that can hold joy and sorrow, you know, because I think when you want something for so long and then you get it, you feel like you almost don't have permission to have bad days. You feel like you don't have permission to struggle or to like, you know, feel any, I don't know, just any struggle. And so then I would feel ashamed that I am struggling.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's real. I mean, there's times I'm like, wow, I'm a horrible mom because I feel like I need a break or I feel exhausted and I feel like my fuse is short or whatever. And it's like, I think, you know, God meeting me in those moments with tenderness, like, I mean, it makes me more tender towards my boys for sure. But yeah, I think it's just reminded me of his faithfulness to us, to always refine us, to always meet us in every valley, in every season. And he doesn't change, thank goodness, even when we do. And we're like, wait, you know, because there have been moments where I'm like, I don't recognize myself. Like, who is this person? Like, I'm so exhausted. And
all the parents of young children say amen.
They're like, I feel you. I feel you.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, there is just, I think that for me, at least, just that like critique, you know, that can kind of get in my head of like, but you've wanted this, like how ungrateful. And the Lord just has been so kind to protect my heart. And in those moments, you know, when I turn to him, to just remind me of what's true and, you know, that's what I would say.
Yeah. No, I think for me, just looking at where God met me in those initial months, I've never felt it to be more true that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I mean that in a couple ways. One is actual strength, because I certainly wasn't getting any strength from sleep and adequate rest. And so I think I genuinely look back at those first weeks especially and think, man, I don't know what sustained me.
Yeah.
You knew who.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know who now, and I knew who at the time. And and like Katie mentioned, I think God did that for sure through people, through his church, through our family.
My sister-in-law making us food so we would eat.
Yeah, it was just little things, right?
Yeah.
Our sister-in-law bringing food over and just making a meal. And we had other people make meals too. And it was just such a gift. And even, even just having your mom and sister-in-law come over late at night, like if they knew it had been a tough day and the babies hadn't slept and they'd been, you know, fussing all day and struggling, there were a couple of times where they came over and said, you know what, you two sleep, get as much sleep as you can, we'll stay up with the boys and
like
we'll take care of them.
The living
and
room.
They camped out and it was just like those things were just a gift, and God showed up in so many different scenarios like that.
And, well, you speak of the being tired and people showing up and letting you sleep and things. And I said, how is being tired a lot affecting your relationship, right? Your marriage, your dynamic, you know, like, I bet you have shorter fuses than you used to have. And you said some kind of neat things, Katie. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I would say I've gotten a little spicier with lack of sleep.
Oh, boy.
I feel like Austin is, his short fuse shows up in different ways. I would say it's maybe not a short fuse like mine. But yeah, I think, you know, it's, in my opinion, it's actually, there's obviously been very human moments where it's like, oh gosh, like, yeah, that was my bad. Like that was, I didn't need to bite your head off over, you know, you leaving your clothes on your side of the bed or, you know, whatever, like the silly things that you decide to kind of freak out about, that really don't matter. But, I feel like the like kind of plus side of it is I think it's taught us how to fight better, if that makes sense. Like I was telling you, Rachel, like it's, we only have so much time, and that's so clear as, you know, parents to twin boys that are 7 months old. And I think I'm like, we've gotten really good at like kind of getting to the heart of it. But it's not come without kind of the bumps along the way, because, you know, I mean, Austin, you can correct me, but like, I feel like I'm typically a pretty like emotionally present person. I love going to the heart conversations with people and talking about the emotions and giving like space for that and to process it. And the other night we were talking and he's like, I just feel like, you are giving me a lot of tough love lately. I was like, yeah, yeah, I think that's all I got. Like my emotional capacity just feels very dwindled these days. I don't know.
Yeah. Just inviting people into that conversation, I think it was just an honest acknowledgement that we have not been emotionally available to each other at
all.
As
much as we.
And more tensions.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so even thinking back to that, it was like, there's a lot of spiciness. There's a lot of like tough love coming across the table. And honestly, I need that. So keep it coming. But there are also times where I just need to like sit in the emotion.
Yeah. And that's what I felt like I couldn't give. So I think that, there's been those moments of like, okay, like, yeah, I'm not really, yeah, I don't know, being emotionally present to you because either I'm tired or it was a rough day or, you know, we've had to walk through the whole, like, I'm choosing to be a stay home mom and I love it. But there are days where I'm like, man, must be nice to like go do adult things. Like, I don't know, you know, just have those moments. And I think just navigating those with grace of being like, no, I love what you do. And I love that you support our family in the way that you do. And I love what I get to do. And, but just also giving space for like, we both can have hard days and it looks different and that's okay.
Well, I want to put Kelly on the spot because you're like, we're learning how to fight well.
Yeah. Well, I have an encouragement for you guys.
Yeah. Healthy.
So I have a question. And the question is, up to this point, probably not, but I'm going to ask it. Has Katie and Austin been away for a night without Silas and Ezra?
Mm-mm.
Okay. In the next 6 to 9 months, Austin and Katie need to get away just to be a couple.
Right. Yeah. Nana, are you listening?
Yes.
Calling our babysitters. Calling all family.
You guys have already created the, we have family support. So I know a couple of people related to you who would be more than happy to. So I think I was just in a meeting today with our campus pastors and our great leader, Joe Hayes, asked the guys, you know, hey, how often do you guys get away just as couples? And I do. And I'm so glad Joe asked that because that is so important to a marriage, especially when you have children.
Yeah.
And that's my encouragement. Not a challenge, an encouragement to you.
I receive that.
I do too.
I mean, we were saying that the other night, like we've had one date night and it was kind of like a, oh, this is good that we're recognizing this because
our anniversary in November. And I remember that was the first time since the boys were born that we had gotten out, just the two of us. And there was kind of this sense of like, man.
Did we go home?
Like what do we do? Right, this is this feels foreign at this point. But
well, and when we had little ones, I know we just didn't feel like we had margin for that.
Yeah.
Financially, schedule-wise, all of it. And our parents made us.
Oh, good.
So we booked a bed and breakfast for you and we're taking the kids and they would do that at least annually.
Oh.
We would not have done much of anything.
Yeah.
That was such support.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was also kind of bossy.
I mean,
but it was
tough
good.
Love.
Yeah. No, I don't
absolutely.
Know. You're going away. Yeah. I know.
Kind I of love fun. That kind of care. That's awesome.
I love it. So certainly this has allowed you to connect as a couple in a lot of unique ways, to connect with God in a lot of unique ways.
Mm-hmm.
We want to invite you into a couple questions. And I know we invited you to think about this before today.
Yep.
But if we were to ask you about ways you might come along, or if I was in someone's life that was on an infertility journey, and I wondered, like, how might I support them? Like, what is supportive? What isn't supportive? What might you say, like, with what you've learned?
Yeah.
Because we want to come alongside people on that journey in ways that are truly supportive, but sometimes we say the wrong thing or we do the wrong thing. So could you help us out?
Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah. I think for me, the first thing that comes to mind is infertility is not talked about, not even close to as much as it should be. And so I think just acknowledging that, there's a tremendous need to just have safe people and safe spaces to talk about it. And, you know, for people that are walking through it, I think there's a tremendous amount of confusion and disappointment, and maybe there's shame, there's grief in that even. Sure. And so there's a lot in there. And so to have those people in your life that are walking with you in that is huge. But I think sometimes when we walk with people through tough seasons, and I'm guilty of this for sure, but I'm so solutions focused.
Yeah.
And so I think it's easy for me to jump into those conversations and think, man, what can I say that will be helpful? What can I say that will offer a solution? And there have been so many times in our journey where that's just not what we've needed necessarily.
Have you tried this? Have you thought about?
Yeah. Exactly. And you know,
or I know someone who went through. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I think of that moment that you shared, Rachel, after the 48th negative pregnancy test, and just the wave of disappointment and grief that comes with that, and just hits you like a ton of bricks. It was in those moments, I know that what we've needed most is just those people to sit with us and just the chance to work through those emotions and talk about it and not be looking down the road to, you know, what can we try next month? Mm-hmm. What aren't we seeing? What medical professional can we, you know, start Googling, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, just like sending a text, or, you know, if you know someone who is sharing their story more publicly, like I am, like, you know, the messages that just mean so much are the ones that are just encouragement, like that just have this undertone of like, I see you guys, you know, if there are people who believe, you know, in prayer that are praying for us, or, you know, whatever it might be. But I think the ones that feel like a gut punch a little bit and just, they're just not needed are the ones that are like, hey, I'm so sorry, this worked for me. Or like, hey, you should try this. Have you looked into this? Have you gotten this checked? Have you, you know, and it's like when you're in it, you're getting so, I mean, for us, at least, we were getting so many things checked, so many labs done, so many doctors, so many. It's like the last thing I need is one more like suggestion, you know, to kind of muddy the water. Because
well, let me just apologize
underwater.
Now. Oh, I was probably one of those people. You know what I mean? Because a lot of us are probably like, oh no, I've been that person. So sometimes it's just saying, tell me more about what this is like.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for trusting me, or, you know, us with that part of your story. You know, that's that I see you.
Yeah.
And it must be feeling like pretty long.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, like, you know, Austin, what you're saying, like, I think those, they come from such a place of like, even the solutions folk, you know, it's like, it comes from, I want to help, like, I want to help you. Mm-hmm. How can I be a help? Well, maybe I have a solution, you know, but I think sometimes it can also come from a place of, we're afraid to be uncomfortable. Like, we don't know what to say. And so we kind of shy away from feeling awkward or uncomfortable. You know, so to me, I'm like, I've never held it against anybody.
It comes from a good place. I know I've said things to
people going through other hard seasons that I'm like, ooh, looking back, maybe you didn't need that. Like maybe you needed me to come alongside you in a different way. But, you know, I think I pray that they just felt my heart, which was to care and to love. And, but yeah, I think, you know, Austin, I want to bounce back to you if you have more things to say, but I would encourage people, just practically speaking, like, you know, I talk a lot about, well, I shouldn't say I talk a lot about, in my circles, I talk a lot about, like, you know, if you have a friend walking through it and you're in the season of growing your family, like asking them, like, how would you like me to tell you when we're pregnant? Or, you know, because I have a very specific way I would like to be told.
That, could you tell it's just for you?
Yeah, for me, it would be a text.
Okay.
Always, always a text, because the thing about infertility is it not only robs us, it robs our friends, like, who are growing their families. Like, because what you think, you know, the moment of finding out a friend is pregnant, that is no longer the same reaction that it's going to be, because, you know, unfortunately, we live in a broken world, and, you know, they're going to be sharing that they're pregnant, and that's something we want so bad. And so it's going to cause pain. And it's not their fault. It's not a bad thing. It's just the whole grief and like joy, right? Simultaneously. But yeah, so for me, I think that when you can send a text, like, it gives them, they don't have to endure any awkward tears, or, you know, and I mean, any awkwardness of like, or, and I don't have to put on a face, basically. So we both can kind of sit and like, I can process how I need to process. They can not feel any kind of guilt because there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong. This is all beautiful and mm-hmm. all good. And then like, I love like getting coffee later and be like, can we meet up? Like after, you know, cause I want to celebrate with you. Like I want to celebrate this new life. Like this is so exciting. But I think just giving that initial space to like, let me not put a face on and to just, sometimes I cry, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I text them right back. Sometimes I don't text back for a few days, you know, and the friends that have done that, I mean, either asked me or have just intuitively texted. It's just meant a lot. So, I mean, same with baby showers. Like, don't just not invite your friends to baby showers who are struggling to get pregnant. Like, I would say, like, ask them if they feel comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so I think it's really, we kind of overcomplicate, I think, a lot of things when grief's involved, because grief is tricky. I mean, Kelly, you can probably speak to this way better mm-hmm. than me, but you know, it's tricky. It can be awkward. It's uncomfortable. Like no one really knows how they're going to feel that day or when it's going to rear its head, like what stage you're in. And I mean, we've been grieving for 6 years, you know, mm-hmm. like what we thought would be our family starting. Mm-hmm. And that's what people are walking through with infertility, is grief month after month after month. And so it's not that complicated when you really like get to the heart of it. It's just being a friend, you know, like how would you want someone to show up for you when you're in grief or when you're, you know, in a hard space of confusion and pain, and just show up that way. You know, a lot of times it's really simple and it's not being a hero. It's just being present.
Yeah, super helpful.
That's really helpful, mm-hmm. Katie. What I have two questions for you guys. What has God taught you about himself through this process? Because the other unique thing that you guys are experiencing is you have two adopted sons and we are adopted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Austin, like what's something God is teaching you about himself? Like I would say me being a dad, like exponentially taught me about him as a father.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. So you're
taking the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
tell
I think,
us more.
And I think for me, it's experiencing his love in that context has just been a really profound part of my journey into fatherhood. And I feel like honestly, the time I've had with my boys, in the most calm, peaceful moments is when I see that in significant ways. And when I feel that maybe more than I ever have. And some of that just comes from the perspective shift of, you know, realizing that so much of my time and my energy is now going into caring for these boys and loving these boys. A strange admission in all of that is I think I've realized how selfish I could be mm-hmm. pre-parenthood. Mm-hmm. And that's just being real is mm-hmm. I've never considered myself a selfish person. But when I think about just how internal some of those things are, maybe that's just the way I've managed my time or prioritized things. I've seen selfishness in that. And so to just see God remove all of that and see who God is as our Father mm-hmm. and to now be able to walk with that as we parent, as I try to be the best dad I can to our boys to say, man, everything I say, everything I do, I want it to be a reflection of my Father mm-hmm. and God our Father and. Mm-hmm. And so to just try to emulate that in those quiet moments of worship and prayer and just do that even with them as babies has been a powerful thing. Mm. So,
Katie, how about you?
I think, you know, I would say kind of what I was saying earlier, like God's faithfulness. But I think if I had to kind of pick something else, it would be his patience. Because I think that becoming a parent, you can't help but think that, I don't know, you can't help but think of God's love differently and mm-hmm. of how he views us sure. differently. And mm-hmm. I think that aspect of adoption, it's so redemptive. And I think just like, Yeah. So I think, but the patience aspect for me is, I think, because I've not been patient. So I think, you know, I've genuinely felt in the just trenches of parenthood, like the times where I'm like, wow, I have nothing. I feel depleted. I don't like how I'm showing up as a mom, you know, just those times where you are getting, I mean, there's times where we're getting an hour of sleep at night, you know, it's just like, so, you know, it's brutal. I mean, new parents know. And I think that just when I look at our boys and like the times that God has met my stirring heart, my restless heart, and just spoke, like, you realize, like, as precious as these boys are, like, I view you like that. Like, you are perfect to me. You are precious. Like, I would do anything to protect you, to take care of you, to nurture you, you know, to show you more of who I am, like, to get to know you. I mean, just all these things. And, but it's so patient. Like, I don't know. I don't know why patience is like the word that's coming to mind, but you probably describe that in other things, like just love and compassionate. But I think just his, how patient of a father he is with us. Like, you know, the times that I might get frustrated in parenthood, I think about, like, how many times has God been frustrated with, could have been frustrated with me. You know, it's like, I fail. These boys are actually perfect. I'm not. And I failed, you know, it's like, and just how God is so patient to meet us in our imperfection and to love us there and to, yeah, to redeem, to grow, to restore. I mean, strengthen. He's just so good. So yeah, I think his heart, the father, like his heart of a father is, even as a mother, I'm like, wow, like it just expands on every facet of parenting, like his tenderness, his, yeah. His
We're just grace. Seeing, you know, seeing all of those qualities and characteristics of God and just seeing the beauty to what you're mentioning, Kelly, of how we are reminded daily of how much God has blessed us through adoption, but how much more beautiful is it that that's part of all of our stories? And so I think that's just been a really sweet, a sweet thing to just sit in and celebrate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Austin, Katie, thank you so much.
Yeah.
For sharing your story. I've done a lot of episodes. You guys have made me really emotional today. This has been a very powerful episode for me. And so for you listeners, I hope it's been powerful too. And, you know, I just, I'm just so grateful for you to be here with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much
us.
For it's having us.
Really fun to talk about this. I mean, we love adoption. We love our boys and just so grateful for what God's done. So thanks for letting us share.
And we know you had to overcome a lot of obstacles to get here today, and it was just so worth it. So, you know, in the fullness of these days.
Yeah.
So we're so grateful.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Together. We hope you've learned a thing or two. If you find the podcast helpful, please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your listening platform, leave a comment and give us a 5-star rating. If you'd like more information on Ada Bible Church and its ministries, or someone to pray or dialogue with about your marriage, go online and check out our website at adabible.org.